Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
There it is. The dynasty continues.
Jim Nance last night on CBS as the Patriots bring home their sixth Super Bowl championship. Welcome back in. Nick Szczepkowski, Mark Grody with you up until 10 o'clock tonight. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. Shortly after that, you saw the mob scene on the field at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium down in Atlanta. And CBS, to put it kindly, that was an awkward 3 minutes or so of television as Tracy Wolfson, the sideline reporter, was in search of Tom Brady. Tom Brady was hugging everyone in sight that had a football uniform on. And in the meantime, Jim Nance and Tony Romo apparently had their mics cut off because no one was saying a word. One of the truly stranger moments I can remember in terms of live television programming a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I have to say that I watched that moment from a perspective of having been a sideline reporter like I was this year, my first year working with the Chicago Bears, and going through some of, well, I didn't have to go through at all what Tracy Wolfson had to go through. I did work with Tracy on a few games this year. Like, we worked together as sideline reporters, and she is terrific.
The Jets game.
Yeah. She was it just the Jets? I don't know.
I know it was the Jets. I'm trying to remember if Nance was on something else this year.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving?
Well, that's right, because you guys had your guy Nance on before the Bears-Jets
right.
game.
That's where
right.
I did my 180 on him.
Yeah, that was a great
Maybe you
interview.
Shared a sideline with
Me
her.
Me and Jep were there, too.
That's right. Me and Tony were on
the sideline. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
We helped bring CBS, NFL on CBS on the air that day.
Actually, though, it was freezing that day, I think.
It was Tony, bitter. The wind was blowing in literally every direction.
I don't remember seeing you.
I was on the Jets sideline. Things were a lot more fun on the Bears sideline, I'm sure.
Tony had like a scowl on his face that night, if I remember correctly. People were like, weren't you carrying cords or something?
Yeah, I was striking. No.
I don't
striking when you bring it down. Okay. But I was holding
the
cable.
Well, we struck after.
Yeah. I was holding the cable. Me and Chep. We were the cable
running
holders.
The cables back and forth.
Yeah.
That was a hell of a job, though.
That's pretty cool.
Cooler job of like, all right, here's this 50-pound cable, 60-yard gain or a big punt, run down and get to the line of scrimmage with it. Like, okay. Oh, God. Like, all right. It was fun, though.
Here's me walking around. I look at Tony. What the hell are you doing here? Put that cable down. What are you doing?
Put that cable down now.
Go home. What are you doing here, Tony? It was just like out of context moment for me.
But to get back to last night, anyway.
Yeah, the wolf.
In the Tracy Wolfson episode.
Yeah.
I was just weirded out by it. Okay, she's doing her job. She's trying to get the interview with the story of the day, and it's Tom Brady. He wins the sixth Super Bowl, even though he has probably his worst showing in a Super Bowl, statistics-wise, at least from it. But just the, like, did any director in the truck start to think, all right, maybe we should have Jim Nance fill. Maybe they can just figure out and look on their screen when Tracy Wolfson's ready with Tom
Absolutely.
Brady.
Absolutely. Say something.
Why for 2.5 minutes are we sitting here and hearing people cussing up a storm and whatever else? Like, did anyone think that maybe it'd be a good idea to get a different voice or different face on the screen for just a minute?
Yeah, and I'm watching Tracy just get swallowed up in all of that because she is a small person. I felt for her, obviously, from the perspective that I have had this year, and then I was so happy for her when she got the interview. It's a really, and I'm just talking about from, except for one playoff game, regular season games, it can be really difficult, especially, you know, after the Bears would play games, win or lose, my job was to get the first interview on the field, and I didn't have the benefit of having a producer on the field with me. I had to procure that interview by myself, and it can be really difficult because of what what was going on, that Tom Brady was wanting to talk to the opposition, and there's a lot of hugging. And when I would go on the field, there's something that NFL players do now where they exchange jerseys, yeah, and they do the autograph thing. And it's really hard for NFL players, especially linemen, to get those shirts off. I mean, they have to help each other get those things off. So I would be sitting around waiting, and I've had a producer in my ear saying, come on, we got to get somebody, and I'd be like, I'll try somebody else instead of getting this guy, or they're going to the prayer circle. I mean, it's a chaotic moment. You've got people in your ear, and yeah, that was kind of and I have not had to deal with anything like that, obviously, but that was the mother load right there, and they should have done something like Nance, and I think I heard you talking about it earlier, talk about the idea of letting the scene sort of rest and breathe. That was way too much breathing right there. Like, that's a marathon
of breathing.
You're
running out of breath.
Yeah, that heart rate is way too high at that point. That's clean breathing. So at that point, and I'm sure that, who knows, I would love to hear the actual perspective from the producers and the people that were doing, like, why they didn't go to that moment. Or maybe they just thought, like, every second that was happening, they thought they were going to get Tom Brady, and it just took longer than they thought.
Yeah, because it just dragged on and dragged on and dragged on, and you're sitting there like, okay, well, this is awkward, and there's a couple of security guys trying to help Tracy Wolfson and whatever else. That was a strange part of the broadcast. Otherwise, I didn't mind the broadcast. Like, there's some people, oh, Tony Romo doesn't talk about defense enough. He needs to have a better eye for defense.
Is that Dan McNeil?
Yeah, it's Dan McNeil's, exactly. It's like, he's a quarterback. He's giving you the thoughts of what a quarterback sees, and every play goes through that. I don't have a problem with it. I mean, he wasn't in the business of predicting plays last night like he was in the AFC championship game. I don't know if that was something that maybe CBS brought down on him. Say, stop saying what's going to happen here every damn time, because he clearly had watched seemingly all of the film on the New England Patriots for the previous, I don't know,
or just
six
don't
or
do
seven
it
years.
For every game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's all.
Like, maybe cut it back on the Super Bowl and stay away from that a little bit. But that broadcast, I like it.
Fine.
Like, Jim Nance has grown on me. I've gotten past the he's so cheesy type of thing, because he is. He's very cheesy. At the end of the Final Four each year in the national championship, he always has the, and the Huskies will bark on to another championship, or whatever dumb lines that he comes up with, and they're corny, and they deserve to be made fun of, but
that's who he is. We need to analyze this a little bit, because he did insult your broadcast sensibilities for a long time, and then we had the
interview with him, and I was like, that guy was legit cool, and I can't dislike him anymore.
Okay, because you booked him, and he came on your show, and he made your show look good.
But he was great, too.
Like, yeah, he was.
There's guys that you get are big names, and you're like, okay, well, it's awesome they came on, and then their interview sucked.
He was engaged.
Right.
He wanted to be there.
Told the stories of having the par 3 hole that's modeled after the one at Pebble Beach in his backyard.
Told everybody how much money
he
had.
Middle of the drought in California, his water bill's $10,000 a month or whatever the heck it is in order to operate that hole and make it play like it does at Pebble Beach. And then he has people over after whatever golf tournament that it is. They just go over to his house and they play on his little par 3 hole all night long, and whoever, like, they have, like, a little shrine to everyone that gets a hole in one on it.
This is amazing.
Like, yes, and he opened up about all this. Like, this guy's a lot cooler than I thought he was. Like, yeah, he's a dork, but damn it, I wish I was a dork like that, because that guy's got a golf hole modeled after Pebble Beach in his backyard. That's pretty damn cool.
That is pretty cool. A good point from the 815. Nance is probably running down from the box to the field to present the trophy at the time. That's possible. I'm sure that he has a very direct
route.
That's
immediately after the final whistle.
Oh, to go down, you think?
That happened with Tracy
Wilson. Oh, I see what you're saying. That there's no,
like,
that,
yeah,
you don't
he
think
has to get down there at some point, but I mean, you're talking a half hour later by the time, 20 minutes later by the time that trophy's actually brought out by Emmett Smith and, was it Vince Wilfork and Joe Namath last night, I think, were the three that handed it off to each other. This was within like a minute of the game being over. You can't tell me that Jim Nance is already on his way down.
They got to change the rules on that one, because that was very cringy and very awkward. Like, that's an intimate moment between players and old teammates and stuff like that, and Brady and Robert Kraft. And like, give him some space. Just give him a couple minutes to digest what just happened before these cameras start bum rushing them.
Well, I mean, that's any game you watch, though. Any football game you watch, coach or starting quarterback or guy that made the heroic play of the day immediately is what you get. Like, and that's Super Bowl, that's conference championships, that's, I mean, that's week six of the regular season when your team's 0-5.
And ultimately, in a normal broadcast, if it wasn't the Super Bowl or the postseason, that wouldn't have happened. They would have just cut it and said, it's not going to happen. Oh, they would have recorded it and come back to it later.
Yeah.
And you just would not have gotten that raw emotion coming off the field. So if you want to play it that way, if you want to allow the players to do their thing, you're just not going to get that stuff. And I don't know, maybe people don't want it. Apparently, this texture apparently does. Yeah, guys, no one cares about the sideline post-game hit. End of the game, most of the viewing audience is busy leaving their respective Super Bowl bar parties. Hello. I think there was clearly there were enough people that watched that moment because there was a ton of reaction to it with the wolf getting caught in the middle.
The wolf.
Yeah.
Are you a big Super Bowl party guy? Are you a small group guy? Or you watch the Super Bowl alone guy?
I've done it all.
What's your preference?
I think that it depends on the opponents. I think generally speaking, I do like to just watch it either myself or maybe with one other person. I did go to a terrific suburban party.
Oh, yeah.
Last night, and it was fun. But
what did the suburban party entitle?
It entitled a lot of food.
That's usually a good start for a
Super
Bowl party.
Yeah, like tons of food. There was probably, I think there ended up being, and like not a huge party, like 10 people, but it was, you know, loud enough and enough talking to where I couldn't really get the minutiae and the broadcast. So I had to watch the Super Bowl today just to get all the
debriefing,
you know, because in terms of doing our jobs here, I had to actually watch the game. I had a really good time at the party, but I think if you ask me if I had to vote, how do I want to watch the Super Bowl? I think I'd rather watch it alone. Now,
you're like me.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I'm such a loner when it comes to big games.
Yeah, absolutely. No.
I'm such a loner.
I don't think that's like terribly unique necessarily. Like for real sports fans, like you really want the whole experience, and you want you, Nick, and me, we're going to watch
like
the game
sports,
differently.
Isn't it about like bringing people together and everything? Like, isn't that a large chunk of what it's supposed to accomplish?
I suppose it is. And the Super Bowl in particular. But I'm like that when I was just a watcher of Bears fans.
Yeah.
I didn't want anybody around that wasn't as engaged in that game as I was.
Ever since Super Bowl 41, which happy anniversary, by the way. Remember when Devin Hester had that kickoff return?
Bears.
That was cool.
And
the rest of
awesome.
It was awful. But that was a great way to start the night. Like, I can't watch, and I tried to refuse to do this for Game 7 of the World Series, but I was outnumbered by too many people. I hate going out for big games. If I have a rooting interest, like if it's going out to watch, I don't know, college basketball or college football national championship and my favorite team's not playing,
yeah.
Then it's okay, whatever. I don't have a dog in this fight.
Right.
It'd be cool to go to a Villanova bar to watch the national championship and watch these people get excited. Cool to go to an Oklahoma bar and watch them in the college football playoff and watch these people live and die with everything and have fun for the 3 hours or 4 hours that it is. But it's like if my team's playing, if I have that rooting interest, then I don't want to be out with people. I went to a party for Super Bowl 41. I was a junior in college. And I was more furious at the group of people I was watching this Bears game with than I was with the outcome of the game.
And you're how old at the time?
21. I had just turned 21. I was 21 for all of like 3 days because I got kicked out of two bars on my 21st birthday
really?
That week on a Wednesday night because I could not handle my alcohol.
Wow.
And then because I hadn't gotten my license changed to the one that you have to get when you're 21, I got kicked out of another bar that hours after the Bears won the Super Bowl because
idiot.
They got a beer and they asked for my ID and I showed them and they told me I was not supposed to be there. I'm like, but I just here. I think they're sick of me.
Old soul Shepkowski.
That's right.
Okay.
But I just hated watching that game with this group of people because it turns into just the dumbest thoughts.
Uh-huh.
Like the callers that are so outlandish on this that they turn into bits. Like, that's what I was watching with, and it was the first time I'd watched a Bears game with the vast majority of these people. It's like friends that you're close with, all right, you're in college, you got to have a house party and watch the Bears game together. And it's like, oh my God, you think Brian Griese should be playing in the second quarter? I want to jump out this window and watch anything that's not the Super Bowl right now. Like, you really think that Cedric Benson's faking an injury because he's too scared of the Super Bowl? Like, this is the conversation that we're having. Right. Oh my God.
Yeah, don't do this. You're cracking me up because, what are you, you're 32?
Yeah.
32, right? I'm 47.
Oh, wait, I just turned 33. You're 47?
I'm 47.
Shut up. You are not.
I've had some work done. That's all.
You're not 47.
I am 47. Seriously. But thanks for saying that. No, I'm kidding. I'm 36. But anyway, I'm older than you. But
How old are you?
I'm 47.
You're not 47. Dude, you're not 47.
I want to come over there and hug you, but yeah.
You don't look,
I am,
act, appear.
Oh, I know.
Anyway, 47.
Especially the acting and appearing, and that's by design, you know? There's no reason to.
I thought it was that black that didn't crack. Like, Grody doesn't something. You're 47?
I am. Yes, it's my dirty little secret. There it is. It's out there now. It's there.
Age like Benjamin Button. Like,
God bless you.
You don't look anywhere near. I would have guessed when you said 36, I was like, okay, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
I thought he's a little bit older than me because he remembers the 85 Bears so well. Yeah. But 36.
You think differently of me now? Do you think? Like,
no.
Okay.
I don't.
Okay.
You look like you're about.
Oh my God.
Like mid 30s.
Wow. Well, thank you, Nick. You're a good man for saying that. I appreciate that.
It's impressive.
Yeah, well, thank you.
You need to get on your plan.
Thank you. But my point was going to be, though, is that when I was 32, I was definitely at parties. I was definitely going to Super Bowl parties, going to the bars, consuming like the 03, the 2003 Cubs. I'm out at bars and doing that whole thing. And that's one of the reasons I like you, Nick, is because you are an old soul. That you're 32.
33. I forgot already. Last week was my birthday. I already forgot it.
You're 33 going on 47.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's the way you roll. And I like that about you, but I was very much different from you at that age.
Yeah.
So
it's okay. Like World Series wise, when the Cubs were in the World Series.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you. This
it was
World Series.
Game 7 of it, my wife, my sister, her husband, everyone wanted to go out. I'm like, I'm not going out. I don't want to go out. I can't watch big games away from home. Like, I watch big games at home. That's the way it is. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it took so much convincing, and finally we went to a bar on the near north side.
For game seven. Oh, my God.
And it was like, I hated the feel of it. It ended up being awesome because of the end result, and it didn't matter where you watched it. It would have been awesome if you're a Cubs fan. But it just was like, I hate being seen by people and people seeing me in this moment because this is an ugly version of myself when Aroldis Chapman gives up the 2-run homer.
Ooh.
And whatnot. And it's like, it was so uncomfortable, but then it was so great at the end. But it's like, I think it took until game 7 of the World Series for me to go and watch a team that I liked, that I was like a lifelong fan of, playing a big game from Super Bowl 41 up until game 7 of
so
the
you
2016
were around
World Series.
Festive,
good 10 years.
Festive sort of. I'm glad you went out for that because you need to feel a little bit of what happened in 2016. I'm trying. Hey, Herbie, didn't you run the game 7 in 2016? You run that? No, that was not you. I'm trying to think because obviously
I was
in
San Diego.
Okay. Oh, you were in San Diego.
Those were great days we were living back
then. It was Joe. It was Ostrowski. And I just remember him because during the rain delay, that the rain delay, which at the time I thought sucked and was the worst thing ever because it was prolonging the agony of the Cubs blowing game 7, and I was going to have to fill
to think positive in the moment.
Well, come on, man! After this home run, you didn't think they were going to win, did you?
I felt like that. I didn't.
No, that was a horrible moment.
I tried to lie it into existence to myself, but I don't know if I actually believed it.
My job at that point is to fill. And I usually like doing that. I usually like doing rain delay theater because it's kind of fun. You can do all sorts of
things. I mean, how long was the rain delay? 15
minutes?
Well,
that's what I mean. Like, I thought I was preparing for a 2-hour horrible call-in show because of Joe Maddon and some of the decisions that he had made. And I remember Ostrowski being in here saying, you could take calls if you want, but I don't know if that's a great idea considering the content of some of these calls. So I was just feeling dread. And then obviously the rain lets up and I'm like, I'm off the hook. Back to you, Pat and Ron. Take it away. I'll be in the second row if you need me.
Mark, fasten those seatbelts.
You're right.
Progressive Rate Field in Cleveland, Ohio.
My God.
Rain-drenched field here in Cleveland, Mark.
Ron J. Davis.
Sucking. He just hit a home run. Oof. He's a little pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Can't get him out tonight.
My God. And then the grounder to Rizzo to end the game. Like, what is
it? Well, to Bryant, but to, close
what
enough.
Did I say?
Rizzo.
Oh, okay. I meant Bryant to Rizzo.
Sure.
But the slow, like, to me, it felt like slow motion just because it was a slow dribbler. And you're just, like, your whole Cub fan life and world is going through you at that point. What are you thinking? Because I'm thinking a little bit more from the post-game perspective. What is going on in Nick Shepcout, the quintessential Cubs fan?
It was
going
relief
through your head?
At first. Like, yeah. It was like, great, oh, dodge that bullet.
It's over. Woo. It's over.
All right. Now I throw my beer in the air like the idiot that I am.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was, I helped lead the bar and take me out to the ball game that night. There's video circulating somewhere on the internet of that, I'm sure.
Oh,
if
my God.
Irish eyes.
Hey, if I got one more relapse
series.
In me, we're drinking together, right. By the way.
I don't know if I want that on my resume.
No, you don't.
But I for never sharing a beard with you, I'm not saying I'm rooting for it, but I'm not saying I'm against it.
Hey, it's happening, man. It's happening. I'm having the relapse.
It's going down.
Let's go.
You better get on board tonight, one night only.
Let's go. Streeterville, stat.
One
Let's
more
go.
Show in town before Grody cleans up for the rest of his life.
Let's go on that bar hop now. Let's
oh,
go.
Oh, man. I haven't shut down old tools in a while.
Oh,
God.
Yes.
But, yeah, it was more a sense of relief, and I remember – I mean, drinking just into another level that night in celebration.
Shots.
But, like, the next day, it's sinking in of, like, oh, the Cubs did win. They won the World Series last night. And, like, it kind of sank in the next day because that night was all just, whew, dodged that bullet. It wasn't even, like, the celebration is to me as much as it was, like, thank God that's over. Thank God yes. they didn't blow it. It's, like, it's a weird thing. Like, Chicago championships, when the Hawks won their first one with Kane. And the confusion over the goal. And it was like,
Nobody knows, and Kane is skating down
it,
the ice.
Going crazy.
And still nobody knew.
And no one knows, and it like took away that 20 seconds or whatever it was of like your pure joy that you're supposed to have. You're sitting there in confusion. Like, it wasn't confusion as much as just was like, oh.
Yeah.
That was relieving. Thank God. I don't know what a Bears Super Bowl would be like.
Yeah, that
like,
would
the
be.
Like, the Hester return was magical.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean... So the last 59 minutes and 46 seconds or whatever it was of that game was terrible.
Oh my God. I would the off season of a Bears having won the Super Bowl, I would love to know what that would be like. Because we know we can and we're doing it now, and we can talk Bears anytime during the season, whether
yeah.
it is now or in the middle of some non-NFL month like April.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, the draft is in April.
There
but you,
go. You
know what I'm saying.
Important time.
You know what I'm saying. You can bring up Bears anytime. If the Bears were to win the Super Bowl, and there wasn't sports talk radio back in after they won the 85.
That's right.
You know, and I can all explain my feelings then from a kid who was in junior high. So, like... That was just the like kid fan is so different from adult fan, so that was just that elation, you know, your heroes winning. So I can't really like give you like the adult perspective on what it feels like to have been around and see the Bears win a Super Bowl. It's just the kid, the adolescent, the immature version of it. But if the Bears were to win a Super Bowl now, from our perspective, you know, in this business, like I don't know. I can't imagine what it would be like. Like, because it would be about, like, with all teams in this town, it's about winning the next one. Then we get greedy like we did with the Cubs.
Right.
You know what I mean? And the Bulls and the Blackhawks. So, man, like, my point is we could probably talk Bears every day during an off season of having
God,
won a
yeah.
Super Bowl. Every day.
It'd be like baseball would be filler talk until the draft, until training
yeah.
camp came around.
We'd have so much fuel. Oh, yeah.
My goodness, 779 texter. When you're at a party and you hear these terrible hot takes, do you ever wonder how these people even have a job? I don't know about like wonder how they have a job, but I do wonder how they function so well in society. When it's like, how can you have such a dumb? I remember I was dating a girl in college, and after the Super Bowl, the Bears had the choice to make, and they ended up bringing back Rex Grossman for the next year. And it's like, okay, of course they're going to bring back Rex Grossman. Like, that's the no-brainer. But her dad couldn't figure out why they bring back Rex Grossman. I'm like, well, they don't have a quarterback to bring in. You can't just draft a guy and expect him to be great. Like, you can't just assume any of this is going to happen. Well, they're dooming their franchise. And I'm like, well, he just could not comprehend, because he watched the Super Bowl and that was it. He could not comprehend, oh my God, well, just go get Peyton Manning. Well, you can't just go get Peyton Manning.
Why don't they just do that?
Like, he couldn't process that. And I'm like, well, this guy's incredibly successful and he knows a heck of a lot of other things. He just does not understand how rosters work whatsoever in the NFL.
Yeah.
And this conversation's going nowhere.
And you can't explain it either. Like, you can't, because they'll try to poke holes. Well, then why is this?
Not good.
Yeah, the, well, why do they have the contract?
Who else isn't good?
Yeah.
Brian Griese's not good, and I don't want to see him either.
Exactly.
I don't want to go into the year with that.
Right.
Yeah, it's just there are a lot of those conversations that are out there.
Everybody that's cursed with the high sports aptitudes. Like, you have to, you know, to work here, but there's tons of
snobbery,
fans,
yes,
with the high sports aptitude, and you have to have minutia conversations. And you could usually find those people, like, if you're at a party, you could find, like, the one person you could kind of hang with that speaks the language. But yeah, I totally understand what you're saying. Here's somebody you could totally hang out with from the 224. Bars are loud, expensive, and time consuming. I'm 26. I'll watch my 75 inch TV at home with alcohol I've already paid for.
224 texter, you are speaking to someone that's reading your same language.
That
man.
Was you at 26 too, wasn't
it? Oh my
it?
God. I'm trying to think. Like, Bears Packers conference championship game, I watched at home with my parents. Like, I was not going to meet friends. Like, I have friends who are Bears fans and Packers fans. I'm like, I'm not watching it with you. Why aren't you coming over? I'm not watching it with you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need your dumb meatball takes and screaming at the television. I'm going to sit and I'm going to watch this game and enjoy the Bears going to the Super Bowl by myself.
We'll talk later.
And the
we'll
Bears
talk
didn't
later.
Go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, spoiler I was sitting in the south end zone and freezing for that game. So I was there. I was at
you
that game.
You were there.
I was...
The Bears should have received because Aaron Rodgers marched right down the opening drive.
Oh. A lot of people thought that Chris Conte should. It wasn't Conte's fault. It was the whole team. They were, I repeat, horrible. Who was the? Wait, I'm trying to.
You're confusing the Conte game and the conference championship game.
What year are you talking about?
I was talking about the conference championship at Soldier Field.
Yeah, the Bears and
Bears
Packers.
And Packers.
What? Oh, yeah, you're right.
End of 2010
right,
season,
right,
January
right,
2011.
You're right, you're right, you're right. I am confusing the answer. I was sitting in the south end zone for the 2010 game, for sure. And who was in that game the third string quarterback that got in? I can't.
Caleb Haney.
Caleb Haney, yes.
He was a disaster.
With Pat Collins and then
remember,
Caleb
next
Haney.
Year he was supposed to save the day when Cutler got hurt and the guy couldn't play dead.
A couple of pick sixes, I think,
oh,
in
God.
That game. Didn't Haney have
one.
Two picks?
One. He threw one. Okay. Yeah, but he led a drive that almost resulted in a Super Bowl. So, or not in a Super Bowl, but almost resulted in a touchdown, so he was loved.
It's funny to think of that wasn't that long ago, relatively speaking. The Bears were a game away from going to the Super Bowl, and then they lost to the Packers.
Will be happening again soon, my friend. Just not the losing to the Packers part. That's
Will
Mark Brody.
Happen.
I'm Nick Szczepkowski, 312-644-6767. With you up until 10 o'clock, talking some Bears, talking some Super Bowl on Score. .931 Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. A lot of people chiming in on our conversation when you're watching big games. 847. It's Nick Szczepkowski, Mark Grody with you on The Score, by the way. 847 texter. Took my sons out for pizza and wings. It was perfect for this game without the Bears playing. Yeah, your team's not attached. Love going out. Love going out, getting pizza with your buddies, go to the bar with your buddies, and you sit and you watch a game that you're interested in the game, but you're not necessarily interested in, like, I don't know, the winner or the loser as much as just watching the competition. Yeah, it's a perfect game for that, taking your sons out for that. But, like, man, for big games, my team's playing less than no interest.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely where I am now. But like I said, when I was your age, I definitely was all about going out for the big games and just enjoying it with other people within that atmosphere. And yeah, some of the peripheral stuff too, with people you know, wanting to completely like have conversations and things like that. You have to ward that off. But I don't know. I kind of like the camaraderie of bars and things like that. But no, not anymore. And how did you go to a Super Bowl party? I think you asked me. Did I ask you? I don't think so.
No, I didn't. Well, we sort of hosted a very small one.
Yeah.
When I say very small, it was me, my wife, her mom, her mom's husband, and one of the neighbors stopped by for about a quarter of the game.
All right, so that was a pretty...
It was pretty low-key, and I sat, because the couch was getting a little crowded, I sat on the floor with the dog, and the dog was more interested in this huge stuffed bone that we got him, like, the day we adopted him.
Yeah.
He had never shown any interest in it whatsoever, but last night, he discovered it. And I was like, wow, yes, this has been sitting here for 18 months. It's nice of you to finally acknowledge it, and you wouldn't get off of it, and you kept laying on it. So that was one of the highlights of the night.
That's nice. What was the main, was it just everything food, or was there a main course? Was it just a bunch of mayonnaise-based dips, basically? Or
pretty much. I'm trying to think here. There were, had a little bit of wings.
Yeah, we had some wings.
Those are always good. Had pizza.
I had pizza.
Let's see. I'm trying to think. There were the hot dog roll, like the rolled up hot dog.
Oh, great.
Thing.
Little mustard.
Those are great.
There.
What are they called? Pigs in a blanket
sure,
or whatever they
sure,
are.
Sure, sure, sure.
Something like that anyway. Sure, that was good. Yeah. What
guacamole.
Else?
I bet you had some
there
guacamole.
There was guacamole dip.
Yep.
Awesome meatballs last night.
A little salsa, a little chips and salsa, maybe.
Yeah, chips and salsa. Always a go-to. Always a must in terms of a Super Bowl party.
Yeah.
It was pretty generic.
Okay.
Like, it was pretty basic. Nothing too extravagant, nothing too crazy, nothing too like.
So you're in a perfect suburban setting last night.
Yeah, good suburban setting. You know,
perfect.
I got sick of Maroon 5 at halftime, so I'm like, you know, I'm going to go walk the dog. I'm going to get more enjoyment from walking the dog and watch him take a leak than I will be from watching Maroon 5.
And then
so
Adam
I'm gonna go do that.
Levine took a shirt off, and you're like, wait a minute, look at you.
Hello.
Wow.
Did not know that's what was down there.
Yeah.
That dude is put together.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Congratulations for that. Yeah, that did perk up.
Do you have your home state tattooed above your belly button?
I do
just
not.
Curious.
I do not, but if I am able to...
Find out. I feel like we're learning a lot about each other tonight, so I figured I'd ask.
Yeah, anything.
So I didn't know that about him last night.
Anything goes. Let's do a little can't do it. You want a little can't do it?
Let's get back together. So when was it you decided, Mark?
Let's open up those phone lines and little can't do. You know the rules. You know the rules. Ask and answer. No proprietal kind of stuff like that. You got to answer it. Ask one time. You got to answer it again.
Ask and answer.
You got to be able to do it again. Dan McNeil. Danny Parkins. You got to do the president of the bar. You got to pick the right bar. Pelicans Harry. They're free for the buffet.
You called it. You called it at about 6:05 tonight when we were talking. You're like, wow, we've both been up for a long time.
Yeah.
Things are going to get nutty here at the end of the show. That is correct.
When we're both come in somewhat tired, so there's slap happiness.
I walked in at 11 o'clock this morning, and I was like, I don't feel like I normally do on a Monday. I don't know what it is. Like, I'm not hungover. I had two whole beers last night. It's not like I drank like crazy or anything. I am just tired as hell. I was in bed by 10:15 last night, and I just can't shake it today.
Yeah.
And I've gotten loopy, but I'm not apologizing for any of it. Avondale and Ray has thoughts on your home versus the bar in terms of watching big games. What's up, Ray?
How's it going?
Good. What's going on?
I had the pleasure of playing college football all the way into my sophomore year at Michigan State. And to tell you the truth, when I went back, what was that?
Sparty party.
Yes, sir. And I'm not going to lie. My last 2 years of being a regular student and going to a home games, I kind of swore off going to games because that's the first time it really showed me that when you go to games, you have about 70, 80, 90,000 different coaches in the stands, and I couldn't put up with it anymore.
Yeah. No, I totally get where you're coming from on that. Yeah. I don't know. I've talked to one of my old high school coaches about that, and he's like, he's since has retired from the coaching side of things and watched games in the stands, and it drives him crazy. He's like, wow, there really are know-it-alls everywhere that don't have a damn clue what they're talking about.
The greatest...
Like, yes, welcome to my job every day, myself included.
That's why you're exhausted right now.
Here's a burning hot take for you.
The greatest
Julian
era...
Julian Edelman should be in the Hall of Fame.
the greatest era of going out and watching games, though, was the 90s when the Bulls were doing what they were doing. And I was at the perfect age because in 1990, that was my first year in as my year I graduated from high school. But yeah, so you can get the picture. Like, it was perfect. So, and I would be back home in the western suburbs, and it was always like every Bulls playoff game was like, all right, where are we meeting up tonight? Where are we going tonight? It was a social occasion centered on the Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan, and it was just good. Because I remember when I first started the first time I covered Michael Jordan, the only time I covered Michael Jordan was when he was a Washington Wizard. So the only perspective I had was the fan.
Yeah.
And so I remember wanting to go up to Michael, and of course the media was hyper, and just go up to him and thank him for the social life that he provided for everybody and the fun. And I never got the chance to do it, but that's all I wanted to say was thank you for allowing us to get closer together as friends, Michael. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, if there was ever, I don't know, never had anyone quite like that. The closest I had, this is kind of probably explains a lot about my strange upbringing and strange childhood. I got very mad at Michael Jordan when he retired the first time. Because I was in first or second grade. I forget what grade it was.
Yeah, that's wheelhouse anger.
I was really upset, and I didn't really understand.
Yeah.
Still don't understand a lot of things in life, but that was one of them at that point.
Yeah.
So I got very angry towards Michael Jordan, and I held it against him when he came back.
Really?
And I let my hate for the New York Knicks from that first run take over, and I became a Reggie Miller and Pacers fan.
Ooh, wow. That is spite, dude.
Yeah, it was spite.
Yeah.
It was also like, okay, they hate the Knicks too, so that's okay. I'd rather root for them than root for the Knicks. But, like, yeah, it was so like, the second run, it's like, still I was rooting for Jordan because he was back, but I was also still kind of mad at him because I'm like, oh, why'd you ever leave? Because I'm dumb and 12 years old or 10 years old or whatever the heck I was.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't fully, like, grasp everything.
Yeah, no, that's...
But, yeah, so I had, like, a weird love-hate relationship at the same time with old Mike.
Interesting. That's, like, child...
That's so hurt.
That's sports fan trauma.
I was so hurt when he retired.
Trauma, man. That's
I remember, like, renting his book from the library the first, like, early on in the school year. Like, the Michael Jordan biography. I'm like, oh, my God, this is so cool. I got this. My parents are like, he's going to retire tomorrow. Like, I specifically remember that. I'm like, what do you mean he's going to retire tomorrow? Like, yeah, he's going to retire tomorrow. No, he's not. And, like, it ripped my heart out.
Wow.
And I took it out on the guy.
Disillusioned.
I'm sorry,
at
Michael.
The age
I forgive
of seven.
You. Yeah. Right. Like, oh. I could not comprehend.
Little Nicky didn't realize what
something tragic actually happened.
No, life is hard.
An athlete just retired. Yeah. Idiot kid.
I would have liked to have seen how your parents handled you. Because knowing you.
Threw me in the closet and forgot about me. No.
I just.
A lot of, they should have done.
A lot of hugs and explaining how the real world works.
Right.
This is a lesson that you can take into your rest of
your life. You spoiled little brat.
Right. You think this is the worst thing that's going to happen to you in your life? Son,
wait till you sleep outside in the middle of December, kid.
Right, exactly.
I think it's a problem now.
We're putting money into a stupid college fund for you every day, and you're worried about some guy retiring.
Right,
and you're
some
seven.
Guy that doesn't care about you, and some guy that's never going to know you. Okay, Hersher and Paul has thoughts on something that came up from us earlier tonight. What's up tonight, Paul?
Well, you guys were talking about watching games, and I had to watch the seventh game of the World Series that the Cubs won outside of my house because my wife was having a party that me and my son couldn't be around for.
Couldn't be around because you weren't welcome, or couldn't be around because you couldn't stomach it?
I don't think I could stomach it. It's ladies and their apparatus. I don't, you know, for sexual stuff.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait,
yeah, those parties exist, yeah.
Wait, that's the party that was going on at your house while the Cubs were playing in Game 7 of the World Series.
Yes. My wife's excuse was, I didn't know they were going to be having a Game 7.
Oh, come on.
I didn't know either. So I took my son to Buffalo.
So you thought that it was a chance to have some bonding with your son in a party experience.
Well, yeah.
Here's this little circle. This will make you feel good.
Yeah, well, I took my son to Buffalo Wild Wings instead. And but he was a little too young to be a Cubs fan. He's a Cubs fan now because I took him to a game since then, and you know he really loves it. But he was too young to really understand because he's 6 years old now. So
yeah,
he was just a little too young. I took him to his game, and that game that Jason Hayward hit that grand slam to win it last June.
Yeah,
and he
one
loved
thing Hayward's
it
done.
Fan.
Paul, appreciate the telephone call. That is a that's a unique one. Wow. I
almost dumped that.
Well,
well, I mean, no, that he actually anything, what, like that a, actually like the, those parties do exist. It's not like some dirty cultural like basement kind of thing. Like that, it's not that big a deal.
Right?
That they have we'll just use apparatuses. It's totally cool. It's fun. It's life. It's whatever. But I do I do think that his wife set women sports fans back by saying that they because that's like the stereotype, right?
Right.
Of, yes. of women like not like
why
being
they're
ignorant.
Having their sexual apparatus yeah. party.
Oh, I didn't know there was going to be a game seven. What? Like no, like that set. That's kind of the thing because I feel like there's a lot of Cubs or sports fans that are women. That does not give women a good look there to have a party on game seven.
773 texture. So this dude's wife had a sex toy party on a Wednesday night. I'm calling BS.
I mean, I would like to too because I would say that like I said, there are tons of women sports fans. I don't know why you would throw a party of any sort. On game seven of the Cubs.
Yeah, that party needs to be canceled. Top of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Coach Collins and Chicago's Big Ten team at the new Welsh Ryan Arena on Wednesday, February 13th, when they host Rutgers at 6 p.m. Tickets on sale now, nusports.com. 312-644-6767, the telephone number to call. Nick Szumkowski, Mark Grody with you. Plenty of texts coming in on this exact conversation. We'll continue to have some fun with it until the top of the hour on The Score. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. Nick Szumkowski, Mark Grody with you. A few more minutes here on The Score. Spent a lot of the night recapping Super Bowl 53, some of the night talking some Bears as well. The excitement going into this offseason and the countdown until Bourbon A, until the season will start back up. Been a while since you were this excited for a Bears season and a Bears offseason that probably won't be any huge moves, but no doubt about it, we'll be reading into them more than we probably were the last couple of years because of what the expectations will be. One team that hasn't done a whole lot this offseason that we sit in the middle of and we kind of hit fast forward on because it's front and center now.
It's about to.
Cubs and Sox, just a couple days, a week and a half away or so from reporting to spring training in beautiful Arizona. I mean, after last week, I think most people would be excited to be out in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
But in off season, it feels like, well, a whole lot of nothing has happened so far. Like, it feels like baseball has this prime opportunity. If this is the way off seasons are going to be from now on, where your mega stars and your biggest free agents aren't going to sign until February, then, like, don't open up the free agent signing period until the day after the Super Bowl and go and take over this run where there's the nothingness.
You know when all the signings used to be? December.
Yeah.
Like not even like January is crazy late. Like guys that didn't sign in that month of December, it was what's going on. It's and this is, you know, it's still surprising that it has gone this late. But if it goes another year, next year, this is becoming commonplace because obviously you had the same scenario last year with some guys signing late, J.D. Martinez and Jake Arrieta,
mm-hmm.
who I think Arrieta
March,
joined in
yeah.
the middle of the Phillies. Training camp, so it's going to be like that, and it's kind of like I was thinking about this. The for years in baseball, the players have won. They have won like with the exorbitant salaries and the crazy money and the long contracts and you know the Alex Rodriguez's of the world and any number of examples. And just for the last 2 years and 2 years only, the owners have started to get some victories. Like they have. They've got some W's after years and years of player dominance, and who knows what that leads to. But it's just 2 years where the owners are winning this game. They're winning this game in terms of the crazy big salaries.
Yeah,
that's all.
That's
you know?
What they've done, and I don't know if it's all of them in cohesion to do that. But you've seen the percentage of revenue the teams generate. Players keep getting a smaller and smaller percentage the last 9-10 years now, and you just see it shrinking, and I'm guessing that doesn't change its ways, that the MLBPA is not going to be too thrilled about that, and we might be looking at a work stoppage here before too long.
And I think,
the old CBA ends in, what, 2 years?
Yeah, yeah. So that probably will happen. What I'm trying to figure out is I think that this is probably, like, from a fan's perspective, it's probably better that the owners have gotten a couple of victories because when you have one player taking over your your entire payroll, even though those payrolls can be endless, minus the luxury tax and all that kind of stuff, it's probably bad for your team. And I always hate it, too, when people say, well, it's not your money. Actually, if you're playing along, if you're a fan, it is your money. It is mm-hmm. it is your money. So, like, I hate when people say that because you are right there with them. You are playing along. It is your team. You are invested in it from a figurative standpoint. So I think that probably right now, and I could be wrong, this works out in fans' favor, I think, with the salaries, at least the owners attempting to get the ridiculous salaries down a little bit.
Yeah, down a little bit, but I mean,
still higher than any other sport.
Plenty high, right.
Yeah, I mean,
and they're guaranteed, unlike like the NFL.
Well, right, that makes
Chelsea
all the,
look at there.
Right, and the per year is still, I mean, the NBA is doing pretty well now. Literally in the last 3 years because of some changes that were made, and we see the middle of the road players making money that only the star players used to make. But I don't know. I think I kind of like it. What's going on with the?
I like it. I like it a lot.
Are you doing Dumb and Dumber?
I don't know. I'm trying to remember what that was from.
I like it a lot.
I like it a lot.
It's Dumb and Dumber.
It's Dumb and Dumber. Yeah, it is.
You're done, aren't you?
Oh man. Hell yeah.
I like it a lot.
The story of the night is you're coming in for Can't Do It one of these days.
Oh, absolutely. I'm always up for Can't Do It, man. I thought we should have played tonight.
We should have.
We had time.
That would have been a hell of a thing.
Yeah. Like, you usually are part of it, but you're not featured on it because you're on the other side of the glass.
There's
for
somebody
McNeil
that
Harkins.
Always calls and asks me questions about the flower person at my wedding.
Yeah, I heard that one time.
And then he called up with a follow-up the next week. Oh, what's the name of the flower place? I don't know.
It's got to be somebody that...
I have no idea.
It's somebody that wants to hear themselves on the radio
right.
then. Somebody connected to it,
obviously.
I don't
know who the caterer was. I don't know who this was. I know the venue, and I know the location. I don't know the rest of anything.
Can't do it!
I... Take your little prize pack.
Hey,
you stumped me.
What do we have to
you
ask,
stumped
ask,
the ask, chef. Congratulations.
Asked and answered. You know, asked the questions. Prior to information.
Yeah. Questions. I got flowers.
I got a national show.
Boring.
I got to get out of here.
Robert's making me do transition with him.
I got to do a contract.
Shake him.
That's it. I hear the music. It's all over, Chef.
Tony wants this silliness to end. Turning it up, and you don't even have a smoke on his face to do it.
What do we got coming up next here on the
show?
We
got the Brad Underwood Show. Listen while you can. Brad Underwood's going to be breaking down Illini buckets. They take on Michigan State tomorrow night, 5:30 here on the Score. Illini basketball, but it's going to be the Brad Underwood Show coming up next. For Mark Grody, I'm Nick Shapkowski. Thank you tonight. Hub Arkish and Lawrence Holmes joined us. Tony Gill, Herb Lawrence, our producers this evening. Brad Underwood Show's next. Les Grobstein comes your way. 11 o'clock tonight on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Good night.
Two white guys doing Lawrence Holmes show.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.